Let's read Psalm together. I'm going to read from the New International Version. It's a Psalm of David, and he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Now, I want to read the psalm from the Message version of the Bible. It says this, a David psalm. "Long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God. My God, I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I am so full of answered prayers." Now, the question "how long" is found so many times in the Bible. It was asked by, just get this, Nehemiah, Solomon, Jeremiah, Hosea, Zechariah, Job, Isaiah, Daniel, and Habakkuk all asked that question, "how long," when they were talking to God. Now, I would say that that question resonates with every single person who is watching this online. Because we're all saying, isn't it, aren't we, how long is this going on? We've been in this pandemic. We've been locked down now for 10 months. When am I going to receive my vaccine? How long am I going to be alone and not be able to be with my friends and family? How long is this anguish going to continue? And so as we look at this psalm, I hope that we will find in this psalm something to encourage us, something to help us and to bless us. See, the psalm is a real picture, isn't it, of despair in this man's heart. We can see the anguish of his soul, and yet we can see a soul that wants to experience God once again. A man who has deep faith, but is struggling. Do you know, when we read the Psalms, they are Psalms of lament. It's said of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, I thought this might have been one of Stuart's questions, how many Psalms are Psalms of lament? And it's reckoned it's between 42 and 46. A Psalm of lament is when somebody is crying out to God, "Why, God, are you doing this? Why is this happening?" So nearly a third of the Psalms are people expressing their sorrow and their grief and their regret. And the Psalms are beautiful poems expressing the human heart. It's done by individuals, but it's also done by community. And when you look at the Psalms, the Psalms of Lament, there are a number of things that are included. They all address God. They all have a complaint, but within them is a confession of trust. They say to themselves, "We are going to trust God." There's a request, and finally, there is a vow of praise. So when we look at Psalm 13, it falls very nicely into three sections. And we're going to look at those three sections. The first is verses 1 and 2. It's the complaint that David makes to God. And he uses the phrase, "How long? How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Now, to understand the psalm, it's really good to look at the background to see what was actually happening to David. And we can, if you know the story of David, when he was very young, probably a teenager, maybe 14 to 16, he was anointed to be king. Samuel came and anointed him with oil and said, "You are going to be the future king." And then we read a bit later how he went out and fought Goliath and he took him down. And then later we see that he was brought into Saul's family. He married Saul's daughter. He became commander of his army. But what happened was that Saul became very jealous of him. And at that point, David had to run for his life. And if you're really interested, it was in the year 1020 that he had to run. And for 9 years, get this, for 9 years, he was on the run from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. You see, but God had promised David the throne. So here's a young man who, probably by the age of 20, maybe 21, to the age of 30, he was running for his life. And yet, in it all, he knew one day he would be king. And so how did he kind of balance that up? And that's probably why he sat down one day and he wrote this beautiful psalm and he just said, "God, how long? How long is this going to take?" You know, and his complaint was that actually he was doing the right thing and Saul was doing something evil. And he says, "Well, how long are you going to forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? Basically, you've turned your back on me, God. How long must I wrestle with the thoughts I have?" You see, David was a man of faith. He was the friend of God. And yet he felt God had forgotten him. That God had turned his back on him. And he was clearly depressed by what was happening to him. He was in a terrible place. And he was saying to God, "Where are you, God? And what are you doing?" And maybe today, as you are sat at home listening to this, you're going, "Yep, do you know what? That is exactly how I feel. God, where are you? Where are you in this pandemic? And what are you doing?" Because this just goes on and on and on. That was David's complaint. But there are a number of things that I just want to draw your attention to. There are three things I want to tell you, if my iPad will let me. Firstly, it's really important that we voice our feelings to God, that we kind of let rip and we say to God, "You know, God, what are you doing?" I love the Message version, how it puts it across. How you can just hear the cry. "Enough. I've had enough." And I think it's really important that we say, "Yes, God, I've had enough of this." And we express from our heart honesty. The trouble is we're all too British, aren't we? You know, do you remember when we used to come to church? Everybody. I've got in here in the church, it's probably about 10 of us. You know, where the church would be full and you would welcome people and we'd say to one another, "How are you?" And everybody would use that wonderful British word, wouldn't they? "I'm fine. Thank you." They're all talking this. We're all fine, aren't we? And the truth is we're not. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe today we feel sad, we feel broken, we are disappointed. We're disappointing with God and everything is not fine. And we need to communicate that. And maybe we need to go outside and have a good shout at God and tell him how we really feel. Because he's big enough. And he wants the honesty of your heart. This year we've had a couple of weddings. It's great. And Matt and Claire got married. Wonderful stuff. We did the marriage course with them. And one of the important parts of the marriage course is about communication. And looking at them, I just hope that they've learned it all and they're doing this, that they are truly honest with one another. How's that going, guys? They say it's going well, which is good. But communication is so important. But within that communication, there has to be honesty and truthfulness. And the same is true with us and God. And the next thing I want you to realize is that God has not abandoned us. And that's how David felt, okay? He felt that God had gone and left him, that God had forgotten him. God had turned his back on him. That's the picture we get. But actually, when we read scripture, God never turns his back on us. His face is always towards us. And we see that a number of times in the Old Testament. And the blessing that Aaron and the priests would bring was, may the Lord make his face shine upon you. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I want to encourage you today that God hasn't abandoned you, but that God is very much there for you and with you. Okay, let's move on, shall we? Because the next thing in verses 3-4, we hear David. This is his prayer. So he's complained to God. He's told God, you know, this is how I feel. This is what's happening inside of me. And then he goes on. He says, look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. So David moves from expressing his frustration, perhaps his anger. Now he brings a prayer, and I love it. He just says, God, look at me, answer me. It's almost like he's shouting out to God, God, look at me, answer me. Bring light to my eyes. He's basically saying, save my life, because my enemy, who was Saul, was after him and wanted to kill him. And Saul would have rejoiced. He would have rejoiced if David had died. You see, his prayer is so simple and straightforward. He says, God, look. God, listen. God, save me. God, hold me up. And that is the cry of one man's heart. And maybe today, those things are what you need to say to God. God, look. Look at what's happening in my life. God, listen. Listen to what I am saying. And save me. Hold me up and give me strength. Yes, things are hard, aren't they? But we have a God who promises to be with us, a God who promises to hear our prayers, and a promise who promises to lift us up. Maybe today what you need to do is you need to call out to him and say, save me. Yeah. Maybe you've never done that before, but I will encourage you today that you reach out to your Heavenly Father and you cry out and ask him to save you. I want to move on, because the third thing we see here is David's resolve. And we see this in verses 5 and 6. So David has shared his feelings. He has called out in prayer. And now his resolve is this. He says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. See, David had experienced this deep despair, but he doesn't give up. What he does, he makes a resolve with what he is going to do. And he says he's going to do three things. The first thing he's going to do is trust him. He is going to trust in God's unfailing love, God's steadfast love. And we see that a number of times in Psalms, this word that God's steadfast love, because God's steadfast love, unfailing love, never changes. It is always the same. Whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're terrible, God still loves us. And David said, I'm going to trust in your unfailing love. We see that 26 times, that phrase used in the book of Psalms. 26 times to remind us that God's love is unfailing. It is unending. It is unconditional. It is unlimited, and it's unbreakable. We need to trust God through this pandemic. We need to put our lives into his hands. I spoke to two people this week who had to go to the dentist. Do you remember what that was like? You open your mouth, and I don't think it was a good experience for either of them. But isn't it funny how we go there and we lay down and we open our mouths and we trust this person to root around, that's a good one, isn't it? Root around in our mouths and sort out any problems we have. We trust them. We give ourselves to them quite fully. Because we believe they're going to do the right thing. And hopefully they have this week. For those who, yeah, good. But actually, it's about trust, isn't it? You think about other people in your life you trust. I want to encourage you today that you need to trust God fully with your circumstances and your situation. Yeah. It says in Proverbs we should trust God with all our hearts and give everything over to Him, to fully place our lives completely in His hands because, you see, of His unfailing love, that He loves us, He wants the very best for us. So David's going to trust God, but he's also going to rejoice. He says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. You see, David realized that he was still alive, that Saul hadn't caught him. And the fact that Saul wouldn't catch him, because you see, God had promised that he would be king one day. And so he was rejoicing that God was going to save him, had saved him. Salvation in the Old Testament represents the whole being. And so God was going to save him physically, but spiritually and emotionally as well. He was trusting God for full salvation. And you know what? I think here we have to realize, so often, you know, we think in these current days of the things that we don't have. But David was very much praising God for what he did have, for his life, for those around him who loved him and wanted the best for him, for those around who supported him. And through this time of a pandemic and lockdown, we need to thank God for the things we do have, that we have been saved, that we do have life, that we have people around us who love us, that we have been forgiven, that we have hope and peace and strength through God. And lastly, David says, I am going to sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You see, David's response was to worship God for his goodness. It's interesting, isn't it? David reverts to music to praise God and to worship God. Another question that Stuart could have put into the psalm quiz was, how many psalms has David actually written? In the book of Psalms, how many did he write? I could look around here, and no one's got a clue.
27.
How many?
27.
27. 37. Okay, Stuart, you need to go 70s. Yeah, we've got the answer here. It's over there. It's part of the room. He wrote between 73 and 75 Psalms. Wow. So actually, he wrote half of the book of Psalms. And of course, they're songs. So David's response when it came to expressing himself was to sing and to worship God, to give himself in worship to God. And I feel it's important that that should be part of our lives. You see, when we worship God, it lifts our eyes to Him rather than to what's happening. As you know, many of you know, we have a dog, puppy, and we get to walk twice a day, which is lovely. And just recently, going out for walks everywhere is just mud. Yeah. Glorious mud. And you're plodding along. And it's interesting, you've got all this beauty around us, the sky's blue, and all you're looking down is you're looking down at the mud, trying not to fall over. Because it's very slippery. But you see, actually, I just think that's kind of relates to our lives, doesn't it? That here we are, you know, we're going through this difficult time and all we're doing is looking down. But what we need to do is we need to lift our eyes and we need to lift our focus to God and to look to Him and to worship Him. Because when we worship Him, we put Him in His right place and life then makes sense. Life is understandable because we know that God is there for us. Do you know, just want to finish off by saying there are two things in this psalm. There's one thing that didn't change and there was one thing that did change. The first thing that didn't change was David's circumstance. You may be thinking, well, you know, he kind of sang the song and everything was okay. Well, he probably didn't sing the song and everything was okay. The circumstances continued. He was still running from Saul. His life was still under threat. But what had changed was David's heart had changed. His heart had grown stronger. His faith had been developed and grew through this experience. And I want to say to you, you know, this isn't going to end. But what we do have and what we do know is that God is going to be with us through it. And we need resolve and resilience, the kind of resolve and resilience that David had, to keep going and not to give up on God. Because God does have plans to bless us. Do you know, we very often we quote that verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And we say, yes, that's a great verse, isn't it? But what we need to realize is that verse took 70 years to be fulfilled. People were living in exile, and they would be there for 70 years. You know, and sometimes we just want an easy fix. We want everything to be okay today. And what we need to realize is that very often we have to trust God for the long haul. Yeah. And we need to hold on to him through difficult times. Yeah. What a wonderful psalm this is. It's a great recipe for difficult times. Do you know, my kids for Christmas, they bought me a book on how to make Yorkshire puddings. And you might think there's only one way to make Yorkshire puddings. There's lots of ways to make Yorkshire puddings. And they also bought me a tin to make Yorkshire puddings in. I think I've got two of them, actually. So, and I know why they did it. It's because they love me. No. It's because every time they came round to my house, we would have roast dinner together. We would sit down and I would make the Yorkshire puddings, and every time they were a huge disappointment to them. So it meant that actually they thought, well, how can we solve this problem? What we'll do is we will buy Dad the necessary equipment and the recipe to make perfect Yorkshire puddings. Now, sadly, that hasn't happened yet because they haven't been able to come and see me. But following the recipe should result in perfect Yorkshire puddings. And here in this psalm is a brilliant recipe when we are struggling, when we're crying out to God, how long is this going to last? What are you doing? Where are you? I cannot seem to feel you, your presence. I'm not hearing your word. We need to take what David did, was to be honest and call out to God. We need to express those prayers and those frustrations, and then we need to trust him with everything we have. I want to finish with one of my favorite Bible verses. It's found in Isaiah 40. It's verse 28 to 31. It's in the New Living Translation. It's a promise of God that we can hold on to today. It says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord, get that, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will fall and not faint. That is my prayer for each of us, that we might truly trust in God. And we will find new strength to face each day. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for this wonderful psalm. We want to thank you that it is the cry of the heart that you hear. Those words, how long, Father, we resonate with those words. And Lord, today we bring you our prayers, and we bring you our needs and our concerns and our fears. And we thank you today that you hear us. And we thank you for your unfailing love. And we ask today, Father, that we might know your presence with us, Wherever we are, Father, may we experience your presence. May we feel your touch upon our lives. And we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would sustain us. And we ask for your help, Father, and we pray it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.